or, as you said earlier, didn't have the money. That was Neville went through that period too, where he said in the early days he knew he wanted to collect, but his funds were so limited that. But then he was working in the aerospace industry, so he, as a practicing chemist. Well, we've already talked about, I would assume, the range of the subject matter, which is primarily material that was supporting the work you were doing. Is that a correct statement?
Yes.
Although, if you came across something else that was there anything you might have come across that didn't support your work, but caught your eye anyway?
Let me show you one.
Okay.
I can show you several, but I'll show you one that's probably worth as much as anything I have to. First English translation of Euclid,
with the
introduction by John Dee. I'm interested in Dee, but this is not one of the topics of Dee that interests me especially. Although I had it reprinted. This was available, I picked it up by mail from a catalog in Philadelphia. William Allen, I don't know if he's still in business or not, but he had it for $200, if I remember correctly, missing 12 leaves. And I went to London, and at Dawson's, I don't think Dawson's is in business anymore, but they had a nice fellow there by the name of Osborne, and they had an imperfect copy of this work, and he sold me the missing 12 leaves for £12.
I've never heard of that. That's interesting, that they would essentially cannibalize the book.
It was a poor copy. The pages were in fine condition, but it was missing a lot.
Okay. Oh, yeah, there's a letter here from William Allen. Oh, Walnuts, 20th and Walnut Street. Okay.
Does that have the price on it?
No.
Well, I think it was $200. Not positive.
Neville mentioned this too. He says, if you would care to see the book on approval, I would be glad to send it on. Was that common practice, that they'd send you a book to look at before?
It was done on occasion with customers they knew. I don't think I asked anyone to do that. I think that I just said, send it, I'll buy it.
Okay. Well, I confessed that I was ignorant of John Dee until recently and became quite fascinated with him.
Very interesting individual.
There is some group, at least I found them on the web, who is trying to reproduce Dee's library electronically.
Well, there are a bunch of English people interested in me, and they're always inviting my former student to speak to them. This is out of my area too, but I call it part of my collection. It's my great-grandfather's diary of his trip to the Klondike in 1898.
Oh my. Oh. Yeah, St. Michael's, August 1898, Alaska, Norton Sound. Why was he in Alaska? Was he part of the gold rush?
Yeah. He left his wife and his lumber business in Chicago.
Did he strike anything?
No, he just came back with one nugget. So I have some books on extinct animals that I like.
My grandfather kept a daily diary from about 1880 to 1940, about 60 years worth.
Yeah, that's wonderful to have it that long period.
And there's hardly a missing page that he, a day that he didn't write in. And what intrigues me is that the handwriting never varies. It's always the same. Over all that period of time, you can't spot any difference in the handwriting. And I guess it's because he was a clerk in a county court, and he had to do it all by hand, so he took great pride in his handwriting. And I guess maybe he had carried over into his own. That's fascinating to have. Well, I asked you earlier about the number of volumes. Would you care to hazard a guess?
Well, it all depends what we're talking about. Are we talking about
altogether
pre 1900 imprints, or
well,
or I mean, I have lots of books that are current, recent. They're scattered all over the house.
Let's say pre 1900.
I think that there are about 800 in this bookcase, roughly. And these are relatively recent, most of them. So we slice out the sixth. Let's say 650 minus. There are some post 1900 books, but not many. And they're called 650. There are some older books upstairs too.
What's the oldest?
The Ficino, I should have. Okay. 151.
We've talked about cataloging. We've talked about you had mostly, I would call them, working copies.
Yeah.
In the sense that most of it was for your own work.
Oh, yeah.
Anything that's inscribed or autographed.
Um, You mean from the 17th century on?
Well, right. This was a question somebody else came up with on this general list of things, and that is, if you have a book with uncut pages, do you cut them?
Generally, no, unless I need to use the book. And as I told you, I'll buy books that I think I might use sometime. And if I need to use the book, I'll try to limit myself to the pages I need. And that's really a question for a different kind of collector.
I actually bought a book one time that was almost all uncut pages. I bought it for another reason, but it was, the price was pretty low because of the pages weren't cut. I've cut a few of them, but not many. What are the? I think we've talked about this. The most prized books in your collection.
That's a hard.
It's like picking between your children.
Prized for different reasons, in a way. I'm very pleased with the books I have by Robert Flood. Getting very difficult to find these days. I think it's because of all of the plates in them. The book by Arnold of Villanova is a nice thing. I haven't shown that to you because it's on the top shelf.
That's fine.
The D is very nice. I have a beautiful copy of Kircher's Mundus Subterraneus. Ron Brashear was showing me the one in the Neville collection. Mine's a nicer one. I won't say that for much of anything else, but my copy of Kircher is better. I don't know. It's as a whole, rather than the individual items. I like the books by Joseph Duchesne that I managed to find, a nice group of them. But I, not necessarily one or the other. I don't know. I mean, I have a lot of... again, you can't compare it to someone like Neville, who's
right.
Had a great deal of money to do this. But considering the fact that... I was a student much of the time that I bought this, and an assistant professor. I'm really very pleased with what I managed to get.
No, it's a marvelous collection.
I don't know if it's a marvelous collection, it suited my purpose,
mm-hmm.
And it has been very useful to me. It's not just something that has been something to look at the bindings on the shelf.
Are you still buying?
I'm not buying books anymore because I really don't get very many catalogs, and when I do get catalogs, the prices are more than I really want to pay. Quite a bit more. A lot more than I want to pay. I am buying records still, and there it's a different order. Even though records there are getting to be quite expensive. An example is George M. Cohan made 6 records that were released in 1910.
Wow.
They're all rare, but one of them is especially rare. It's a song he wrote in 1897 and was classed as a coon song at the time. It's called P.S. Mr. Johnson Sends Regards. I picked up 3 copies of it over the years in beautiful shape, and it was listed in an auction catalog with a minimum bid of $250 last month. So even that sort of thing is getting to be quite expensive, more than I would have paid for books years ago.
Where do you find these records from that time period? Are they mainly at auction, or are there dealers like there are book dealers?
There are dealers, but most of them are going to auction these days, mail auctions. And I have a want list, runs about 6 or 7 pages. I haven't received it in the mail yet, but I just won at auction a record I've been looking for about 30 years. It's a campaign song from 1904. Billy Murray, who was the most popular tenor of the period, made 2 records for Columbia at the time. One of them was We Want Teddy 4 More Years, which I've heard for years. And the other one was for the Democrat, called Goodbye Teddy, You Must March, March, March. And that one I just won at auction.
How do you play these? Do you listen to them?
Sure I do.
What do you play them on?
Well, of course I've got the equipment, and I've got another 40 machines downstairs.
How many?
40 about.
Wow.
Or scattered around the house. But I play them often on electric equipment.
Have any of these been digitized?
Yes. They're doing that out at Santa Barbara now, and they're making them available on the internet.
What does that do to a collection?
Again, I really don't know. I think prices continue to go up, frankly. Judging from this last auction catalog, I thought. the fellow who runs this auction, his name is Kurt Nock. He lives in Texas. And he seems to know what people want. And one of the things that some people want are Vogue records. I don't know if you've seen them when you were young. It was a 78 record that came out at the end of the war, or right after the war. And the record was a regular 10-inch record, but an artist had painted some picture relative to the song, and then they put plastic on top and the bottom. And they released about, I would guess, about a hundred different records. And Kurt told me that in the auction he had a complete set that sold to someone for $88,000. Some people have an awful lot of money. And furthermore, there was nothing of any importance on it. It's just that.
Being a complete set, was that the...
Yeah.
I heard someone say at the meeting this week that Google is at the University of Michigan digitizing every book in the library.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
And he showed as an example Edgar Faus Smith's book on chemistry in America. Mm-hmm. And you can read the whole book online or print it out. Which I found fascinating, but at the same time, I have a copy of that book. But I guess what I'm getting at is that will books disappear from libraries as everything becomes digitized? For example, at Lehigh, Science Magazine, which was bound back to issue number one, had been used so often that it was in terrible shape. Now it's all digitized. You don't need to use the hardcover binding anymore because you can get it off the computer. Transactions of the Royal Society, all of these things are now available without having to open up the hardcover. And I can see that, and the university actually took the hardcover off the shelf.
What do they do?
And put a note saying, see this, you know, on the web, see this, give the location.
Well, they put it in storage.
They put it in storage.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of libraries are putting less used books into storage. I know Chicago's done that for a long time. Although, normally, anything I wanted could spin on the shelf.
Well, I guess I still like to hold a book in my hands.
Oh, I do, too. I don't want to. And I really don't like computers. And someone got into my last computer, and I have not been able to use my email since then. I bought a new computer. It makes no difference. I've got a problem with the university system, and I'm going to have to actually go down there and talk to the people. I've been trying to handle it now for a month by phone, and they've given me a new password, and it seemed to be up and running, and then suddenly I'm locked out again. That's just terrible news. If we've got a book, it'll be there all the time.
I told someone recently that when I travel, my portable means of entertainment doesn't require a battery. Well, is there anything you'd like to add that I haven't asked you? That anything you wanted to comment about?
I don't know. I suppose there are lots of books I could point to. That top shelf there, that's another case. That's the Histoire and Memoirs of the French Academy of Sciences.
Oh my!
From the volume 1, 1699 to 1747. I wasn't sure that I was going to be working on French science, and Bob Rosenthal, who was in charge of special collections at Chicago, used to tell me when he saw things that might be of interest. He told me about this, and I thought, oh well, it's $200. But I don't know whether I want it. So I sent him an order by C-mail, and I got it. And I've got, this is the 18-8 abstract of the Transactions of the Royal Society. So all of the all of the articles are listed. Most of them are printed completely, but not all of them.
Want to have some coffee and things, do?
Yes.
You like some coffee?
Actually, I've never had a cup of coffee in my life.
Oh, you don't?
Better not.
Okay.
And
well, I can make some tea.
Actually, the water will be fine.
Okay, well, I'll have some things to eat. To come to the...
We're just about finished, I think. If
well, unless you've got, you have anything else?
No, I don't have anything else.
All right. Well, I can go book by book on the shelves.
If you want to. Well, let me stop this at